relationship piece has been, you know, what shapes our program. It's what shapes me. And the thing for us that I tell our kids is it's not so much what you can come in and do for us, it's what we can do for you.
There you go.
And we really try to live that out with our young men. We want them to be great baseball players and great student athletes, and more importantly, better men. Well, hidden talent, that could be self-proclaimed by me, CJ. I'd like to tell you that I'm a really good singer.
Nobody's going to dispute it.
That could be disputed by lots of people.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
Broadcasting from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina, welcome back to our show and thank you for staying dialed into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. Grab you a seat on the bench here in the dugout, join in on this conversation because this is the podcast for personal growth junkie coaches. You have development leading your journey inside this game. You're always seeking out new viewpoints, always challenging yourself to advance and grow. And if that sums you up, welcome to Dugout Chatter, and we've got a dynamite episode on deck for you today. But first, we are 19 days into our brand new membership year here at the American Baseball Coaches Association, and we have eclipsed over 2,500 coaches from around the world. They have jumped on board with us, and they're now part of something much bigger than themselves. They're now in the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity. So for those of you who don't know, registration for our national convention in Indianapolis on January 4th through the 7th is live. And we're talking about 4 days of baseball heaven there in Indy, the world's largest gathering of baseball coaches, the world's largest baseball trade show with over 300 exhibitors, 25 clinics on the main stage. We're going to put another 20 inside our expo theater. Learning and networking opportunities will be all around you. It's a can't-miss opportunity if you're a baseball coach that wants to get better. In January in Indianapolis sounds like an opportunity that you cannot pass up. We're going to give you more information on how you and your staff can get signed up at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned in for that. But back to this slam dunk of a show for you all today. We welcome in one of our most proud and loyal members, a coach who's worked his way up through the association. He served his fellow coaches on various committees, also as our NCAA Division III chair for a number of years, and was chosen by our board of directors to enter in as one of our vice presidents. We're connecting with Stu Fritz, the head coach at Hope College in Michigan, on today's Dugout Chatter show, and what a treat with the laughs and the energy on the line. But it's also Coach Fritz and his wealth of perspective he offers all of us. Talk about one of the true great people inside our game. Stu's name is going to come up in most of those circles. It's an awesome show for you all. And it's fun as we uncover some of the terrific stories that come from spending 25 years in the dugout. Love hearing the wisdom and the lessons that Stu offers our listeners, plus his overall approach to coaching for relationships, a truly common theme on this podcast. And it's just always refreshing to hear another successful coach out there molding young men, keeping this game in complete perspective. Love that stuff, Stu. Plus, there's a lot of laughs in the air. You can't help but do that when you spend time with Stu. He's, again, one of the very best dudes out there for sure. So sit back and relax, pop in those earbuds, connect with Hope College head coach and our ABCA third vice president, Stu Fritz. He's our guest on today's Dugout Chatter episode. And get ready, because this great show is coming at you right now. Welcome back to our podcast, coaches, and today we unpack another Dugout Chatter episode where we look to shine a positive light on tremendous baseball men that are out there in our community, but also are very involved in the ABCA. And man, we landed right on top of one today as we talk with Stu Fritz, head coach at Hope College, a guy that's really spent a great deal of his career inside the ABCA, serving in various committees, various chair positions, and is now sitting as one of our vice presidents. Stu, we want to welcome you to the podcast. Thanks for being on with us today.
It's a pleasure for me to be with you today.
We're excited to have you. Again, a guy that I've known for a very long time, and I'm excited to get into this stuff because there's so much in there that I'm actually really intrigued to hear you answer and get into, because as close of friends as we are, there's some questions in here that really make you think and really make you go down a couple layers, and I'm excited to get to all that. But we want to start, as we always do, And especially, like I just mentioned, a guy that's really worked his way up through the ranks of the American Baseball Coaches Association, a guy that now sits as our third vice president. I think there's an opportunity here, Stu. Can you walk us back through your initial involvement with ABCA, working up through the convention experiences, and then getting involved administratively with what we're doing here at the association?
Absolutely. The ABCA has been a huge blessing in my coaching career and really in my personal life as well. I started coaching in this game in the summer of 1988 as a 22-year-old college graduate as a head coach in Iowa, and didn't know much about the ABCA at the time, and kind of went through the my first 2 years and was given an opportunity to be a grad assistant at the University of Northern Colorado. And I will never forget, Chief, attending my first ABCA clinic in Dallas, Texas, 1991. We drove from Greeley, Colorado to Dallas, Texas, and that was my very first experience with the ABCA. And wow, it's an experience I'll never forget. I remember seeing all the big name guys and being intimidated by them and just trying to soak up as much knowledge and build relationships as I could over a 3-day weekend.
Wow. You know, in 1991, I was in fifth grade. I want to keep things in perspective for this show. I was 10 years old, and you're at your first convention. Go.
That makes me feel really good, Chief. Real
as
good.
As it should. But what when you go, like for a guy that's been to so many continuous conventions and obviously been a continuous member, what do you get out of every experience? Like, what are you most looking forward to, especially when you get to Indianapolis? What fires you up?
You know, it's really evolved for me. Like I said, as a young coach, I was trying to write down of every word of everything that was said, and also trying to meet as many people as I could. And, you know, now after 20-some odd years of having the opportunity to be there, now I probably look forward most to the people that I've met over the years, the relationships that I've built, and, you know, just some of the guys in the boardroom. Just tremendous people. John Casey, one of my very best friends, kind of took me under his wing and brought me along a long time ago. Tom Petroff is a Northern Colorado guy, and I've known him for a long time. Irish O'Reilly, Mark Johnson, guys that I looked up to as a young coach and I still look up to today.
And so for there are listeners out there, Stu, that are, you know, obviously they're fired up about ABCA, they're checking out our podcast, and they're thinking, you know, one day I would like to work my way up. And you talked about Case putting his arm around you and bringing you along. Talk about what that experience has been, is getting involved. Obviously, when I got into Division III, you were my Division III chair, and so that was my first opportunity to see you in action and really get to hear maybe the ins and outs or behind the scenes of what goes on. But then you've worked your way up, and you were chosen last year to be fourth vice president, now serving as third vice president. Talk to us about that transition.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to be the president or the chair of the Division III baseball committee, and got to know the Division III coaches around the country really well, tried to work with them on pertinent issues that we had. And when the opportunity came to go into the vice presidency chain, I threw my hat in the ring, and it happened for me. And again, just a blessing to be able to go into a leadership position with this organization. And, you know, when I stand up in front of the Division III guys, I look out there and I just see some absolute legends that have been in our game and helped to make Division III baseball what it is, and really college baseball in general. So for the young guys that want to be involved, I guess I would say, you know, don't be bashful. Attack it. Attack the convention. Talk to as many people as you can that are involved, because we're always looking for younger guys to get in, younger coaches, and we need that in our organization at this time.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I think there's a piece here and maybe more informing our listeners of the process of how things go, where I think, you know, guys see the main stage speakers. Do they know that the second vice president this year, John Kalzinski from Siena Heights, JK puts together that speaker list, and our third vice president slots the three high school speakers that we have on the main stage. And so that was on your plate this year. Can you talk through and give our guys a glimpse ahead of what they might be looking forward to at Indy with the three high school speakers that you chose?
Sure. You know, I've sat in the audience for years wondering where these incredible guys came from and who organized it and who lined them up. This year, my charge was to find three high school speakers to speak on the main stage. And it was a lot of fun for me to go about who those three guys might be. The first one on my list was Brett Hoyer. Brett is a Cedar Rapids Kennedy High School in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. College teammate of mine, All-American outfielder, and has just done some amazing things with his program over 20-plus years. And he's going to tell us a little bit about championship drills that they do inside to prepare for their spring season. Another one is Scott Tyson. Uh-huh. And for the guys in the Midwest or really in the state of Michigan, Scott Tyson has been the head coach at Saline High School, again, for 25-plus years. And this past spring happened to win the state championship with just some incredible performances, some incredible players. And it's always been a privilege for me to get a Saline player into my program because I know a couple of things for sure. I know that they understand the game. I know what their approach is going to be like. I know that they're going to be disciplined. I know that they're going to work hard. And that's exactly what Scott's going to talk to the coaches about, is just building or what it takes to build a championship culture.
That's awesome.
And then I think the third one is a home run. Trent Mongero does a lot of things on social media. He's involved with Winning Baseball. Just took a new position in Georgia. And some of the things that he puts on social media, I know are very well read. It's very well thought out. And I just think that he's going to just do a tremendous job with our coaches.
There is no doubt about that. I think you've done a knockout job. And obviously, between you and JK, this is certainly one of the best lineups we've seen at a convention, and we're excited. We just keep growing, keep getting better, and keep building this thing bigger and better. And you mentioned this earlier, Stu, and I want to come back to it. You talked about Division III baseball, where you spent the majority of your career there on that level. And, you know, we asked Case this a couple weeks ago, and we had him on the podcast. Talk to us about Division III and how you've seen it change, but more importantly for us, why have you decided to stay on that level? What is it about Division III? And I've heard you give this answer, and I'd love for you to go into it. Why Division III?
When I came to Holland, Michigan, I had never been to the state of Michigan before I interviewed. And it just felt right when I was extended the opportunity. You know, I think that we're put in situations and given the intellect as to whether or not to walk through a certain door at certain times in our life. And for me, being a Division III athlete, it was just the right fit for me at Hope College back in 1993. And it's been a tremendous ride, a tremendous experience. What do I love about D3? I love the student athlete. I love kids that are going to come in and challenge me with things that we do. We talk about sound mind, body, and spirit all the time with our kids, and they do it for the love of the game. And that's not to say that everybody doesn't, but these kids put in lots of time to be better teammates, be better baseball players. And in the end, our goal is the exact same, Chief Team. That's, we want to win. When we're between the white lines, we're there to win. But outside the white lines, we're talking about becoming doctors and lawyers and teachers and business people. And that's the special part for me, is how are we going to prepare these young men to go out and be contributors in our society? And I think, you know, at the Division III level, we just have a great opportunity to do that.
That's always been one thing, and I'm going to follow up on this. When I've been around you and heard you speak, and even I got to hear you speak a couple weeks ago at our Barnstormers event at Michigan State, and you were talking through the relationship side of things. And I think, you know, I know for me personally, we've talked about this, being more transactional than transformational, maybe coaching more for the win, not as much for the relationship. And I'll say that in our time together, you've always talked about the relationship. You've always talked about building up young men and not getting lost in the championships or wins or wherever all the chips fall. And I'm interested, Stu, when you got in there early, 91, and then your head coach there at Hope in 93, have you evolved in that respect, or has that always been something that you can honestly say has been at the forefront of your mission of coaching?
Well, I think a little of both, Sheetsy. I would love to say, oh, it's always been in the forefront.
Right.
But when I came in at 26 years old, I really felt like I needed to prove to myself and to the institution that hired me, and maybe more importantly, to the kids in my program that I belong. And here I sit 25 years later. I hope I belong. I don't know that for sure. But I will tell you that the relationship piece has been, you know, what shapes our program. It's what shapes me. And, you know, the thing for us that I tell our kids is, it's not so much what you can come in and do for us, it's what we can do for you.
There you go.
And we really try to live that out with our young men. We want them to be great baseball players and great student athletes, and more importantly, better men. We say, how can we help them get there? Not so much how can they help us get there. And we try to live that every day. It's about relationships, and when we took this position 25 years ago, Sheety, and I'm talking about my wife as well.
Sure.
She's very involved in our program. We said it's got to be a way of life and not an occupation or it's never going to work. Hmm. And we've raised our son basically in a Hope College bus and in Bouvie Stadium here at Hope. And it's been an absolute joy and an honor for me to have been at the same institution, a place like Hope, for 25 years.
That's awesome. You know, you kind of dove into this a little bit. I'm going to see if we can't really reach in a little bit further and pull out more of those maybe lessons you learned early in your career. And I guess when you look back, I think this is a good way to frame it, figuring things out. And certainly, like Kay said, I've made the same mistake 7 times, thank goodness, and I've learned. But what are some of those other ones that you think back of? Man, I'm so glad that I failed at that early because I certainly have moved forward and been better because of that.
Yeah, there's so many early career lessons that we learn from. You know, one of the ones I learned very, very quickly, or maybe not as quickly as I should have, it's way less about me and way more about them.
Sure.
And the quicker we figure that out, I think the bigger impact that we can have in the lives of kids and their family. And so that's one thing. The other thing that I still think holds true today is, you know, when you wake up in the morning, Sheety, it's never as bad as you thought it was, and it's never as good as you thought it was.
That's right.
So you have to be able to stay kind of even keel throughout the peaks and the valleys. And there are peaks and valleys. The other thing I learned very quickly is if you have good kids, you win, and if you don't, you lose.
There it is.
The impact that we can make is somewhere in the middle there. Mm. You know, somewhere, how do we impact kids? How do we create a culture that is conducive to winning?
I love this question being on next fits perfectly with where my mind was going because, again, our friendship goes beyond this show, and you're always a guy when we're around and we're talking baseball. What I love about our back and forth is a lot of it is challenging each other, thinking differently, seeing things a little bit differently, or taking in some new information. And I guess for our listeners, Stu, can you expand upon that? How are you still, you know, 25 years at Hope, man? You've put in some time, but I know you're a guy that continues to challenge why he teaches what he teaches, why you think what you think. How do you keep doing that? Well, what are some of the things, maybe routines or books or podcasts or things that you're doing that help continue to challenge yourself even today?
There are so many. And I think one of the biggest traps that we can fall into is so that the longer we do this, the more we know, when I truly think it's just the opposite.
Wow.
We get taught lessons every single day by players in our program. And for me, it's against coaches that I compete against. I watch every single game what other guys are doing,
yep,
to see if they're doing it better than we are. And if they are, I'm going to take the information that they have, I'm going to take their way of doing it, and try to make our program better.
Mm-hmm.
And with the number of resources that we have through the ABCA, through all kinds of different coaching clinics, and just being able to sit around the hotel lobby and talk about programs, there's so much information that's out there. There's so many guys doing it the right way. And if I can take one or two things from each of those guys, you know, it's a win. It's a win-win for our program. It's a win for me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting last year out in Anaheim, and I listened to Andy Green recite the poem If, and that's something that I try to read at least once a week right now. It was impactful for me after 24 years. You know, it talks about accountability and being a man. But it's little things like that that you can pick up from different programs. At our Barnstormers, I listened to Jake Bosch from Michigan State talk about how they chart their batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Now Hope College charts their batting practice.
that's awesome.
I think it's just taking ideas from guys that are out there and realizing that we have a long way to go and that we don't have the market cornered on coaching baseball, no matter how long you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking things that can improve our program daily is what I'm trying to look for.
That's awesome. Well, I know, you know, I've talked, I know you listen to the podcast, but you've also always been a guy that's thrown a book at me occasionally. Hey, I just got done reading this book. And I guess I'm throw it out there. What's the latest book you read that maybe really had an impact on you, really changed the way you thought about things?
Well, I read lots of leadership stuff. I've read lots of John Gordon books.
Mm-hmm.
I read Mike Matheny's Manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
I read Tony La Russa's book. I'm a diehard Cardinal fan, so that helps me a little
right,
bit.
Right, right.
But I just try to read every piece of leadership information that's out there. And from articles online, I listen to the podcast. I talk to other coaches in our league. We sit around at recruiting events in the summer, And I think oftentimes we spend more time going back and forth about what we're doing in our programs than we do watching the kids that are out on the field. So, you know, once school starts, the reading cuts back a little bit, Sheetsy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But if you know me at all, I love to talk, and I'll always talk to you about whatever's going on in the baseball world.
That's an understatement of the podcast right there, Stu. I love it. Okay, so let's go into, you know, more in-depth. You talked about the peaks and the valleys, and it's a great reference point. Let's go into that. Let's go into the highs and lows that you've experienced throughout your career. And when we ask this, they always have the follow-up to the lows. How do you get through those moments?
Yeah, you know, the peaks and valleys are going to come even in the midst of incredible seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think the lows, really, you know, I have a very supportive spouse who loves the game as much or more than I do. I've got great colleagues here at Hope College. I've got fantastic administrators. And like I said earlier in the call, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is in the morning. And that's kind of one of the rules that I try to live by. It's very difficult to not take the lows home with you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you didn't play well or you lost a key player to an injury, something like that. But it's just, you know, we oftentimes get told, well, coach, it's just a game. Well, it is a game, but it's also what we do for a living. So we care about outcomes, and we care about, you know, how our kids present themselves. And I think it's just, you know, relationships and people that help you get through the lows. And, you know, I ask my guys all the time, what gets you up in the morning? And I hope that our kids are passionate about something. And I'm passionate about the game of baseball, and I'm passionate about being a part of their life. And one of the things that gets me up in the morning is the fear of failure, Sheets. Yeah, I don't like to fail in any phase of my life. So I think that helps to get through the lows that we experience in this game, because we're gonna have them in our game. If you're playing a doubleheader, you might get 10 runs in the first game, and you got about 17 minutes to get ready to go again.
That's a fact. You know, our event we just got back from at Mizzou, we had one of our coaches and Coach Beezer, head coach of Missouri, is talking, and he's talking about maybe that work-life balance, which, as we know as baseball folks, that's extremely hard to do. But you seem like a guy that's always had, and again, maybe pull back the curtain a little bit, but from the forefront, it just looks, you always kind of have your ducks in a row. You talked about a very supportive wife. I know how much watching Tuck and coaching him up through the years has meant to you. How have you, as a coach with some perspective and experience, I won't call you older, but just some perspective and some experience, how have you been able to really balance out that work, baseball, not let it trickle into the home life?
Yeah, that's a challenge. And I think sometimes in the year, it's easier than others. You know, during the spring with rainouts and things like that, it's very difficult. You might be playing every day. But I said this earlier as well. One of the things that we've tried to do is turn this into more of a way of life. So it's easier to balance than just an occupation and a home life. And we have just one child. We have Tucker, who's a high school senior, and he's grown up around it. He's grown up around some incredibly influential kids that have been in our program. And, you know, when Carol and I look at that, we say, what better mentors for him than guys that are competing in college? They know what it's like to be a student athlete. And, you know, so that's one of the ways is we've just involved our family. But, you know, I certainly have some shortcomings in that area too. It's, I'm not a very good loser, and I don't do a very good job of not taking that home with me. And so that's a challenge of mine, you know, each year, where we get to the point, Sheets, where we feel like we're a jack of all trades and maybe a master of none.
Sure.
And one of the things that we decided early on when Tuck was born is, I just said that I wasn't going to miss his things for my things. And I think what's happened over the years is there's been some recruiting events that I haven't been able to get to because he's been playing. There are oftentimes days where I'll leave my practice and go and watch his. I have six very, very capable assistant guys who are just great people. And I think sometimes, Sheets, the guys love it when Tuck is playing because then I'm not there.
Sure.
It's been... That's a challenge, and that continues to be a challenge 25 years after, you know, our first day. But it's something that that I cherish, and it's something that we work at. It's just something that we've been able to do.
Well, I didn't tell you, but part two of this podcast, we're actually going to bring on Carol, and we're really going to get the dirt on what... I'm just joking. I wouldn't do
Boy,
that.
I don't know if we want to do that.
I don't think we do.
Holy cow.
No, we're gonna keep that in the archive. But now this is an important question that I think really makes you think a little bit. But I think, you know, also could be, this is what I wanted to be when I grew up. I guess if you took baseball away, Stu, and you weren't the head coach at Hope, what would you be doing?
You know, I thought about that. I think about that often. I started my career as an elementary physical education teacher in Humboldt, Iowa. I had kindergarten through sixth grade physical education. I coached various things at the high school level. And to be honest with you, Sheetsy, I think I could have done that for a long time.
Okay.
Rural Iowa wasn't necessarily where my wife wanted to spend her entire life, and that's what prompted us to continue on this path. But I really think that it's anything that involves relationships. Being a relational person is important to me.
Yeah.
I love to communicate. I love to sit and talk with people and try to understand their story. So I really think that, I think that I could have done just about anything that involves people.
I would echo that. That's absolutely dead on. Maybe this is a better question for Carol. But what hidden talents do you have? What were you willing to share with our coaches that are listening in of a hidden talent? And then maybe what just keeps you busy outside of baseball as a hobby?
Well, hidden talents, that could be self-proclaimed by me, Sheetsy.
I'd
like to tell you that I'm a really good singer.
But, nobody's going to dispute it.
That could be disputed by lots of people. One of the other things that I like to do, which call me crazy, I love to detail cars.
Wow.
It's therapy for me. I love to wax cars. I love to clean the insides. That's just something that I do on Sundays during the season. I think it helps keep me grounded.
Sure.
So... Those wow. are, and then maybe I sing a little bit while I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if there's video proof of this. I wonder if I can really dig deep and get something from the Fritz household on this one.
I'm sure there is. You wouldn't have to ask many people, and you'd get the feedback that my singing really isn't very good, but I can clean cars.
There you
That's
go.
One thing that I can do.
I know you play golf. We haven't played together, but I know you do play golf, so you mix that in.
Yes, not very well, Sheetsy. I'm short. And to the right, typically. And
okay.
I think I played my own ball one time this summer.
Well, so. You and I we should play cart golf together. I think we'd be very good together.
That's for sure.
Okay,
I played golf a couple weeks ago, and I had a caddy, and I told her that she and I were going to be spending a lot of time together down the right side of the fairway, and sure enough, that's what happened.
That's where we stayed. Well.
Yeah.
Maybe for a board gift one day, we'll give you a couple lessons. We'll get that straightened out.
I could certainly use that.
Okay, so if you dive into the Hope College baseball program and you pull out moments where you're on the road or you're on the bus or maybe, you know, a home game or some event, give us some of the funniest stories, the things that just, they come up occasionally and they still crack you up today that's happened to you throughout your coaching career.
You know, I've got six assistant coaches that all played for me. And, you know, when we're together, it's, hey, pick on Coach Fritz Day.
Sure it is.
And those are some of the funniest. I have one, Sheetsy, that will go in chapter one of the book that I'm going to write that nobody will ever read. But we have morning practices during our preseason, and we oftentimes will start those prior to 5 a.m.
Okay.
And we had an opening day practice, and everything went well. And that night, I get a text message from one of my senior athletes who said he was really sorry that he had missed practice, that he has a real serious eye infection. Hmm. And, you know, with being a little bit forgetful, I had to call one of my assistants to make sure that he had indeed been in practice that morning. And my assistant coach said, well, sure, he was there. So about the time we were finishing our conversation, I got another text message, and he said, check that. He informed me that he thought it was 7 a.m. the next morning. It really was 7 p.m. the same evening, and miraculously, his eye infection went away.
Sure did.
So yeah, he thought he had missed the next day's practice when it was still the same day of our first practice. So,
wow.
And there would be several more stories that would follow that young man around through his 4-year career. It was kind of one thing after another, but we were able to laugh a little bit at his expense with some of those.
Sure.
I think some of them have to do with staying in the game or being asked to leave early.
Yeah.
One sure. time I was asked to leave early, and I was hiding behind a tree down in the right field corner trying to still get a visual on the game. And about that time, one of my assistant coaches came jogging down and said that we were going to have to forfeit the game if I didn't get in the bus. So I'm not a very good hider. Even though I wasn't talking, I was peeking out from around the tree, and I guess that wasn't acceptable at that particular time. 2008, April of 2008, we dedicated Ron and Sonny Booby Stadium here on our campus. And we had a big, big day that day, had lots of alumni back, and it just happened to be Coach Booby and his wife's 50th wedding anniversary on the very same day.
Wow.
And Coach Boo was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And there was a close play at first base on a pickoff attempt. And I think our player got called out. And Boo had just a little conversation with the first base ump. And he was kicked out of the game for just a short conversation. So he got removed from the game on the dedication of his stadium that we were playing in and on his 50th wedding anniversary.
Have some feel. I'm going to go to that umpire and say, have some feel.
That's one that's gone around through the umpires, I think, for a few years about how that could possibly happen.
There's no doubt. Now, this question, and we're talking about this before we got recording, and I think it's a great opportunity to bring things back to the guys that influence you the most. And we always talk, the Mount Rushmore, the folks that you put up on the pedestal at the end of your career, you'll look back and go, man, without these three or four guys, I don't think I'd be sitting where I'm at. Who would you put up on your Mount Rushmore, Stu?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to get it down into three or four guys.
That's right.
But if I go back to when I was a child, my dad certainly was, you know, just a difference maker in my life. And he passed away my second year here at Hope College. And you know, it's tragic as it was. He was refereeing a high school football game. As tragic as it was, I think it's made me a better dad. I think it's made me a better coach. You know, so when we start to ask the questions why, maybe those answers are there somewhere for us, even though we don't want the answer.
Sure.
But my dad was certainly one. Paul Youngblood was my elementary PE teacher and my high school basketball coach. Just a guy that I still look up to this day. My brother was a talented athlete in college. He's 4 years older than me. And then as I think about my first job in Humboldt. Dan McClanahan was our head football coach and like a second dad to me. And then, you know, being a 26-year-old rookie coach applying for my first college job, I had Ray Smith, who was our head football coach and athletic director here at Hope, who took a shot on a young kid, to be honest with you. And had I not been in the right spot at the right time, Sheetsy, I don't think I would have had the opportunity to be here. And Glenn Van Wieren was a legend basketball coach here at Hope, coached here for almost 40 years, one of the all-time winningest coaches in Division III. I happened to bump into him. He told me about the position, and it just kind of all worked out. My college baseball coach, John Kurt, an amazing mentor in my life, really for me and Carol. And so it's a long list.
Sure.
It's a long list. And that really – That continues to evolve as I meet more people on the board of directors with the ABCA.
Sure.
And I get to sit between guys that I, you know, wanted to be like as a young coach. And now I'm sitting in the same room with them. So there's just lots of people that have influenced me and really continue to influence me every day.
And, you know, we always close our shows, and I told you this, these are two questions I'd never walk away from no matter who we have on. And I'm interested, you've offered so much, Stu, but I know there's more in your pockets. And just open up a little bit more of advice for young coaches. We have so many young guys that are out there listening to this, and sometimes the nuggets that really hit home come in this last question. What would you offer those guys listening in?
I think just be open to new ways of doing things. And I think one of the biggest pieces of leadership and becoming a good head coach is to allow yourself to be vulnerable. I think kids need to see us, you know, when we're at our best and maybe when we're at our weakest. And that's one thing I've learned over the years. You have to be real with kids. And I say all the time that if kids know that you love them, they will allow you to coach them. And I think some of that has changed over the years. I know I've certainly changed. my philosophy and how I go about things. But if we can provide two things, and that's transformational experiences, we want our young men to be different the day they leave this place from when they were where they were when they came in. So whatever that looks like, being transformational, allowing myself and, you know, young coaches to be vulnerable so kids can really get inside of you and see what makes you tick. I think the second thing is, no matter what we do, no matter what occupation, it has got to be built on relationships. You know, I think we can go back to the vulnerability thing again there, Sheetsy, in that allow yourself to be loved. Allow yourself, I tell our guys this, allow yourself to be a great teammate. And, you know, allow yourself to soak up information from the great ones that are out there. And as soon as I was able to step away and say that I'm in a great spot, I've got a great position, I need to get better, I think that's when we really started to have some success. And again, I said this at the very beginning, if you have good kids, you win. And if you don't, it makes it more difficult. And the longer I do this, the more I realize that you have to get, I saw it on Twitter the other day, Sheetsy, I'm going to steal this. Right. You have to get our kind of guys.
Yeah.
You've got to surround yourself with people that you want to be surrounded with. That just makes our job so much easier. And meet kids where they're at. You know, sometimes it's middle, Sheetsy, and sometimes it's further away than that.
Sure.
And that's one thing that I've evolved with. It's not my way or the highway. You got to meet kids where they're at, and you got to try to understand them and where they've come from.
That's powerful, man. Thank you for jumping on and offering some of this stuff, Stu. I mean, I knew this was going to be a great show, but to get you on and get this stuff out, and I'm trying to listen to it through the ears of the guys on the other end of the call, and for them to hear some of the things that you've offered throughout this show, has been absolutely invaluable for our development. So, man, we truly appreciate who you are, what you're about, thankful that you're out there in our game, influence our players, and obviously what you've done inside the ABCA and continue to do. It's a pleasure working with you, Stu. We're thankful you jumped on our call, and we wish you the best of luck for the rest of fall practice.
Well, I appreciate having the chance to be here, Sheetsy, and I appreciate listening to the podcasts that have gone before me and just having so much information out there to allow me to try to get better every day. And yeah, I've been doing it a long time. Longevity is a great thing. And with longevity, it comes some experiences. And I want to continue to learn from great people every day. And I appreciate our friendship, Sheetsy. I'm glad you're in the position that you're in.
Well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, man. So thank you on air. I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for jumping on with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been my pleasure.
See, I told you that would be a fun interview. I'm telling you this. If you can find a way to connect with Coach Fritz, you should do that. It's an easy guy to get along with, but brings so much perspective to any relationship he has, and truly a terrific coach inside our game. It's always great to have him unpack his approach to coaching, the value he places on relationships, and working for his players, not the other way around. We're so thankful we could get that out for our coaches today. So good luck the rest of this fall, Stu. We wish the very best to the Flying Dutchman as they approach the spring season, and we look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis. Now, a quick reminder to each of you listening in, spread the word, and please keep doing that. Your emails, your tweets, coaches reaching out, or meeting them out on the Barnstormers Tour. This show continues to come up in conversation, and it's because of our brotherhood in baseball. The willingness to share insight and resources is so motivating, so please keep that going. These are going to fit your schedule on your time. We're talking about in the car to and from work, on the mower, either at home or at your field, working out, doing anything and everything inside your schedule. So make sure the more people inside your circle know about what's going on here. Send them the link so they can subscribe to it on their phone. They can go to the website, abca.org/podcast. They can scroll through and listen away. They could also follow us on Twitter, at ABCA1945. They'll never miss the release of another show. And thank you guys for your part in growing the game and strengthening this coaching community. Now, speaking of Twitter, our hashtag ABCAChat is another platform we want to make sure you're aware of. We actually have one tonight if you're listening in on Tuesday the 19th. We have one tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Talking Mental Game from last week's episode with Ken Revisa. Now, if you're interested in the ones moving forward, our next one will be Tuesday, October 3rd, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's an opportunity to share your info and your insight, also connect
with other coaches that are on the chat. It's a great opportunity to learn and develop and grow and forge new relationships. You'll see the retweets and likes just flying around. A lot of activity tonight on Twitter. But we want to see you check in on our next hashtag ABCA chat. Again, make sure you're following us on Twitter at ABCA1945. You can always find me on there as well at CoachSheets3. Or you can reach me directly by email, as many of you have, Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at abca.org. Again, as we're out there on tour with Barnstormers or connecting with you guys through social media or through email, it's just awesome to hear how this audio gold is hitting you on the other end of the line. So please keep reaching out, keep delivering those messages to us. They keep us fired up here in the office to keep growing and keep developing this show. So thank you guys so much for that feedback. Again, make sure you do know about our ABCA Barnstormers coaching clinics. We're the halfway point. We've put 70 clinics behind us, and we've got another 70 to go as we continue to reach out into different communities, bring those coaches together for one day of coaching clinics, give them insight and drills and information that'll help them become a better coach. And we want to see you out there on tour. So make sure you go to our website, abca.org/clinics. Click around and see if there's a Barnstormers clinic coming close to you, and come join us out on tour. And lastly, this is the podcast for the American Baseball Coaches Association. We want to see you and your staff jump inside our coaching fraternity. And it's only $45, guys. We're going to give you membership benefits such as personal liability insurance, weekly emails, Inside Pitch magazine, hotel and rental car discounts, access to our video website, all the things you can imagine coming into a baseball coaches fraternity. But again, we're also looking ahead January 4th through the 7th in Indianapolis. That's our granddaddy of them all, our ABCA convention. 4 days of baseball heaven, guys. 25 clinics on our main stage, 20 inside our expo theater. A brand new lineup for youth coaches as we have our youth clinics on Saturday this year in Indianapolis. The world's largest baseball trade show, over 300 exhibitors, award ceremonies, our Hall of Fame banquet. Guys, networking opportunities everywhere you turn throughout the hotels and the convention center. We want to see you there with us. So if you want more information, head over to abca.org. If you click on membership, you can scroll through all the benefits that we offer our coaches. If you also want to know more about our convention, click on events. It'll give you all the information of what we're doing this January in Indianapolis. If you have any questions at all, please never hesitate to reach out to us directly. So there it is, guys, the complete rundown, and we put another podcast in the books. We appreciate you guys listening in, staying loyal to the show. Remember, this is your show, and these conversations are for you. We want to make sure every time you hit the play button, we're giving you quality information that you can digest and take to your program. And as always, thank you for listening in, staying dialed in. Until next week, guys, keep growing, keep challenging yourself, keep developing yourself as a coach. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.